When we have a true word from God, we must believe it, speak it, and act on it without hesitating, wavering, or doubting. We focus on God's word and not our fears and doubts and unbelief. This is a little bit of a review because last week I had to cut my sermon off in the middle, okay? And so we're trying to pick up where we left off. We are not going to receive anything unless we get a word from God and believe it. Whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll get it, is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He preached that, but James is the quote here. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. I'm not going to be preaching on wisdom today. It's this second verse. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing doubting, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Keep in mind, I didn't write any of this. I'm just reading it. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when you pray and you do not believe that the Lord is hearing your prayer, and you do not believe that God is keeping his word that you're standing on, then it says, don't expect anything from your prayer. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, we are not going to receive the promise if we doubt God and his word. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The word there for double-minded is dipsikos, which means double-minded, vacillating up and down and all around. I mean, no, we need to land on a scripture and believe it. Two-spirited are thinking two different things at the same time. You cannot believe you're healed and believe you're dying all at the same time. Amen. You got to make up your mind what you believe. So let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we focus on our promise. Now, last week, I got this testimony in, and I didn't get it in for you in the second service. So if you're in the first service last week and now you're in the second service, you'll hear it again. But this really illustrates what I'm talking about. It makes it very clear. We cannot believe the word and doubt it at the same time. Vacation Bible School 2014, we got word on Friday night that we had no buses for our giant vacation Bible school on Monday. We ran buses all over town to pick up kids, many of them inner city kids. It was not our fault. It was a mix-up between the persons organizing the buses and the bus owners. I prayed about it, and God gave me an inner assurance, peace, that he was going to fix it. And also, I had a word from the very beginning that God told me in this church to have these vacation Bible schools, so I know it was God. And God doesn't normally tell you to do something and then fix it so you can't do it. So I had an inner assurance, a peace from God that I would not doubt. I knew that somehow we were going to get those buses and we're going to bust those kids in. Now, listen, I had to focus on the word I had, the revelation in my heart, the peace, the assurance. You see, a lot of people go around naming and claiming everything, but you can only really name and claim and expect what you have in your heart. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We, everyone, need to pray through. Do we get a peace and a no-so revelation and then not doubt it? No vacillating, no up and down. I knew I had buses. I had them in here. I didn't have them physically. It was Saturday night, no buses. Buses run on Monday afternoon, pick up the kids. I had to go straight ahead as if I had buses, because I did have buses, but I didn't have buses. You can know you're healed and still not feel healed. But you can know in your heart, faith is a substance of evidence. When we started this church, I knew I had a church in Knoxville. And we started from zero. And I would say, I got a church in Knoxville. And he said, well, where is it? Well, I can't show it to you. Well, why not? Because it's still in here. Like these missionaries. When God calls you to do something, he drops it in your heart, and you don't just know it up here. You know it in here. is a confidence and an evidence. And then we know if he's really called us and he's given us that work, then he's going to fulfill it. He's going to make it happen. Was I lying when I told people I had a church in Knoxville? No, look around. It was here, but now it's here. And so I had an assurance from God that we had buses, so there could be no vacillating, no up and down. I had to go straight ahead as if I had buses. We did not tell anyone. It was me and one other person that knew it. And they were pretty much in charge. And so we didn't have buses. And I couldn't tell people I didn't have buses when I knew I had buses. This is very important. What you say is very important. If it's in your heart, don't deny it. If it's not in your heart, pray till you get it in your heart. Amen. Or whatever revelation God wants you to have. We went ahead with the Saturday morning planning meeting, which we did every year. We got all the teachers and bus workers trained and ready to go, knowing we had no buses in the physical ramp. A lot of people would have panicked and canceled the whole thing. But I knew in my heart, God was going to do it. Amen. Do you know in your heart that God's going to do it? Whatever situation you're facing, can you get that in your heart and believe it's from God? You see, the Lord is a very personal God. A lot of people flying around, trying to find different preachers, different churches, trying to hear from a man. Let me tell you something. God is personal. He wants to give you your own word. And when he gives it to you, he wants you to stand in faith and believe it. Like Abraham, he knew he had a son, even though he had no evidence of having a son. His wife was barren, had never been able to have children. Now she's gone through menopause. She's way too old. There's no way they'll ever have a baby. But God says, I'm going to give you a son. And Isaac was born 25 years later because Abraham believed the word that God gave him. How many want your own personal word from God? You can believe that. But you can't just make up something and start naming and claiming. But if you have that word in your heart, you better name and claim that. I name and claim I have a church in Knoxville, and here it is. And that inner revelation has not left me yet, so I'm still here. We had an enrollment of about 2,000. We had over, in the end result, we had over 2,000 enrollment that year. No buses. Someone recommended a new bus owner we had never used before. We met him Saturday evening right here in my office. He agreed to do it, even though it seemed almost totally impossible because he didn't own it. I remember he did not own nowhere near 19 buses, which means he had to get other bus owners to help. And then he had to line up 19 bus drivers, licensed bus driver. You can't just stick anybody on there. You have to have a special license to do it. And he had to line all that up on Sunday one day. He took it on. He said, I feel a conviction in my heart that I've got to do this. Listen, when God's working with you, he's working on other people. And he has spoken to this bus owner, and he had this conviction in him. He had to do it, and he did it. He lined up 19 buses and drivers on Sunday. By Monday, they were ready to go, and we had one of the biggest vacation Bible schools we ever had, an enrollment of over 2,000. See, when God gives you a no-so assurance, nothing is impossible. I don't care if the doctor, no matter what his prediction is, he may say you have cancer and you're going to die, but he doesn't have the last word on that. We've had a lot of people here healed of cancer. And I mean a great miracle healing. And so you want to go by what God is, the assurance, the revelation, the no-so, the peace that God has given you. Some people say it like this, pray through. And I believe in that. You pray through until you hear from God. And then you do not doubt it. The owner said he felt a conviction. He had to do it. And he did it. So here is how the New Testament believer acts. I'm talking today about mature faith. Do not waver. And becoming a New Testament believer. Here is the way they did it. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can never take credit for anything. It's the victory comes through Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. When you have a word from God, plant both feet and refuse to move. Amen. Believe the word. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know, this is still scripture, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He gives us the victory. Stand firm, let nothing move you. You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Stand. Stand firmly on God's promise or his word without vacillating, hesitating, wavering, or doubting. You see, I had a lot of opportunity to panic. You know, 2,000 kids plus lined up all over the city and no buses. I could not tell anyone we did not have buses, because it would have been denying what I knew in my heart. A lot of people don't get that. Yeah, if I had said I don't have buses, I would have contradicted what I knew in my heart. If I'm sick and I know in my heart that I'm healed, I can't go around telling everybody I'm sick. I have to say, with his stripes, I'm healed. You don't lie, you quote the word of God. And if you quote it long enough, it might just build your faith enough so you believe it and get healed. You say the way you move the word of God from here to here is meditating on it and praying over it. Amen. If you need healing, get all your healing scriptures and meditate on them, pray over them, and believe God, he's going to quicken one or more to your heart, and it becomes your know-so faith that you're healed. Amen. We can act on our word. The mature New Testament believer knows that once you have a sure word, there can be no vacillating, hesitating, wavering, or doubting. That's why some preachers quit. They see how difficult it is, special missionaries, and it's very easy to start doubting your call. Well, man, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Listen, if you know in your heart you got a word from God, if you'll stand on it, God will turn that thing around. He'll turn it from impossible to make it easy. It won't always be easy. The devil see to that. But once you recognize you have authority over the devil, you send him down the road. Amen. You see, New Testament believers know that once they have a word, they have to stand without doubting. I am not preaching this to entertain. I'm not preaching this to debate. We have a lot of people in the church right now under attack, and we're going to stand together and believe God that God's going to deliver every one of them. And if he wants any of them in heaven, then he can have them. But we're going to make sure it's his will. We're going to stand in faith and believe God for a miracle, especially if you're a tither. We have a rule here. We don't let our tithers die. We keep them alive and well. But there's a lot of people around here under attack. Ari had that major surgery. It was a tumor right by his spine. And now he has some issues. The doctor says therapy should take care of it. But we're not going to sit around and hope. We're going to pray and believe God. He's going to restore that young man to complete wholeness. And we're going to believe that God's going to heal Gary's feet. And he's going to heal Art. And he's going to heal my brother and others. Can you say amen? We have to believe God and stand in faith and not just hope. Jesus said, with all the promises he made, he still said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You have to believe that he is God, and you have to believe that he goes about doing good, and you have to believe he keeps his word. If the word of God says, with his stripes we're healed, then we can believe it. Amen. And if you have a hard time believing it here, you meditate on it and pray over it until it moves here, and you have that no-so revelation assurance in your heart that God's got this thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast. Now just listen. This is what the New Testament believer really believed. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without doubting. For he who promised is faithful. I was pretty sick and had some issues at the end of the fast. And I asked John Yuchai to pray for me. Is John Yuchai in this service? He comes to the first service. And sometimes if I do a good job, he stays for the second one. I guess he wasn't impressed this time. But anyway, he fired me a text back and says, Question. Have I ever let you down? It almost offended me at first. I said, why is John talking to me like that? And then I felt like God says, hello. That wasn't John. That was me. Question. Have I ever let you down? And I was fighting a pretty good battle. And I started thinking, well, no. He's never let me down. And he's not going to let me down now. Can y'all believe that? Has he ever let you down? Now, you may have let him down. I sure have. I may have caused a lot of problems myself. But God has never let me down. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Can we agree on that? You see, what is our confession? The word that God has given us. You can't go around using somebody else's confession. What has God spoken to you? What has he called you to do? You see, God called me and Dodd to start this church in 1980. As I mentioned a while ago, the only thing I could honestly confess was I have a church in Knoxville when I did not have didn't have any evidence of one, didn't have any members or anything else. We started from absolute zero. And was I lying when I told people I had a church? I mentioned this a while ago. Was I? Look around. Was I? It's here, isn't it? It was here first. It was in my heart first. It was a revelation from God that that was what I was supposed to do. Now, why did Joshua and Caleb believe they could take the promised land when no one else believed it? Out of all the, probably a million and a half, maybe 2 million people, only two people believed the promise of God when he said, go in and take this land because I've given it to you. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that believed it. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Who got the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. What happened to the rest of them? They died. Don't take this believing thing lightly. But you have to have something to believe. You can't just make up something. And that would be the word of God. Because they believed the word of the Lord, which, paraphrase, said, I have given you this land. The other spies did not believe God's word, but focused on the negative. And a lot of times as Christians, we get so focused on everything that's going wrong, we forget that God is faithful. There's a devil loose, and there's going to always be something going wrong. He's going to see to it. And so you have to believe that God is faithful. They wavered, hesitated, doubted, and missed their promised land, but Caleb and Joshua did not miss it because they believed God. And they didn't just make it up. We're naming and claiming that beautiful piece of property. We're laying claim to it. Well, has God told you you can have that property? If God speaks it to you, it doesn't matter what it costs. This piece of property right here is probably the best location for a church in the United States of America. At 16 acres, and we're 1 mile from an expressway. There are two of them. One is 40, one's 75. One goes about as far north as you can go, all the way to almost to Key West. The other one goes from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and we're 1 mile away from it. And then Middlebrook's right here, goes right downtown. And then if you go past the expressway, you got Kingston Pike. And this property is worth a fortune right now. How do you get a piece of property like this? You have to believe God for it. Amen. You can't just drive up and down the road claiming every piece of property. But we got an also revelation that God wants to have this property, and here we are. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. They had a for sale sign up when we tried to buy it. I'm starting to ramble around now. I don't know where I'm going, but we'll go. But they had a for sale sign on this property, and I talked to one of the owners. It was a group of them is going to build condos here. And they said, okay, we'll sell it. And we put a tent back here and prayed for about 3 days, fasted and prayed. And they changed their minds. Said, we're not going to sell it. And so I went over to see a few weeks later to see Gordon Smith that owned Volunteer Realty at that time. And he saw me come in and he waved to me. A lot of people there in the office. He called me back and he says, there's a big bank that we had a note with that went under, United American Bank, and if you want that property, you can have it. The reason we got this property is because one of the biggest banks in the country, the fourth largest insolvent bank deal ever in the history of this country, went under, and they sold us the property because they didn't want to pay the note that the other bank required of them. Can you say amen? Amen. If God tells you he's going to give it to you, he's going to give it to you. If you want to know why we believe in miracles, because we are one. Yay. We are a miracle from beginning to end. You see, this is why so many Spirit-filled Christians are not operating in the miracle power of the Holy Spirit today. They do not have it in their hearts. When you pray through and get it in your heart, you can take it to the bank. Amen. We must act on it. We must act on it if we expect to believe it. If we do not believe it, we're not going to get it. We got to get it in our heart and believe it in our heart. And a lot of people just don't get that. Get into your prayer closet and get your own no-so revelation. Pray through for yourself. Don't always be looking for someone to give you a word. And I've got people all the time giving me a word. Most of the time, I just don't hardly even pay attention to them. The only word I want to hear is from Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. How about you? Now, if somebody gives me a word, I put it on the shelf and wait to see if it works. Okay. But if it's a real word from God, it'll confirm what God's already told me. There's this one lady came to see me, and someone had told her, it's God's will for you to marry this guy. Okay. And she was all upset because she didn't want to marry him. I said, well, has God told you that's your husband? Well, no. I said, well, then you get your own word. Don't you listen to other people? Especially something that serious. And, of course, she didn't marry him, thank God. Some people call it praying through. Call it what you want to, but get you a word from God. A lot of times people, as a pastor, want me to hurry up and do something while everybody else is doing it. I will not do it until I know that God spoke to us to do it. Amen. Just because it's working for everybody else does not mean it's going to work for us. Right. It's like this $40,000 a year. I mean, when God told me that, I thought I'd lost my mind. Some of you think that right now. But you know, being crazy can be a lot of fun, so just leave me alone. But when you get raised $650,000, setting a goal of $40,000 a year, that probably is God. See, hear from God. And here's the danger. A lot of people believe that when you hear from God, it's going to be nothing. Well, I'm afraid God's going to call me this and call me to that. He's going to make me live by the wrong side of the tracks. Normally, God's vision is so greater than we can imagine, it scares us. It's like the children of Israel. When they were told to go in and take that promised land, and they saw how great it was, they panicked. So God's got a plan for you. I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you know what it is? And don't get by into this secular spiritual stuff. No matter what your job is, that place is your parish. That's where you serve God. That's where you rise and shine. That's where you bless people, minister to people. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so God has a plan for every one of us. We cannot act on it if we do not get it in our heart. We have to have it in our heart and know it's God. I could never get up here and ask for $40,000 if I did not know it was God. I couldn't do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. That's what the devil's trying to get you and me to do. When things just don't seem to work, he wants us just to give up on it. Now listen, I'm reading the Bible. This is not my opinion. Right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is your word, your no-so assurance, your faith, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Say endurance. You have need of endurance. That vacation Bible school bus thing, I had to do some endurance. It's a short one, thank God. Okay, from Friday night to Monday morning. Or to Monday afternoon, but I had to endure without any evidence of any buses until they showed up. For you have a need, and you know, I could have thrown away my faith and confidence very easily just by saying, I don't have any buses. That's where a lot of people miss it. Do not throw away your confidence or your word, your notes of revelation, your peace, assurance from God, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you see, we'd done the will of God, we had done everything we knew to do. We signed up all these kids, had all these teachers lined up, ready to go. You may receive what was promised after you endure a little bit. It may look like you're going to die from that disease, but you go with what is in your heart. Somebody say amen. Praying to get that peace. And here's what I believe. I believe it's God's will for every one of us to be healed, be healthy and well, so we can do what God's called us to do. How smart would God be to call me to preach and then put me in intensive care so I can't preach? God wants me to be healthy and well so I can get out here and preach the word of God until it's his time for me to go to heaven. Then who cares? He says, well, you have to get healed to die. No, you don't. If it's God's time for you to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven. Can you say amen? There's a time appointed that a man wants to die, and if it's not my time, I'm not going to let the devil shorten me one day. Can you say amen? You can be healed, but at the same time, what's the will of God? Is God through with you? If you're a tither, he's not through with you. I mean, no, we like tithers. For you have need of endurance. That's where some of us are right now. My word on healing is Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I will never cast it away. Doesn't matter what happens to anyone else. I believe that word. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, I was fasting and praying. The Lord gave me that word. It says, Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that when he came, he'd take our infirmities and our sicknesses. The Lord spoke to me, said, do you believe I'm still here? Yes, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you at the end of the age. He said, do you believe I'm here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? Well, no, I didn't, but I saw it. I said, yes, I do. Well, I said, prophecy. Truly have borne our sickness, carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed, made whole emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, every way. And the answer was no, but I saw it and said, yes. And I'd had strep throat. I know most of you know this, but there's a few new ones here that don't know it. I had strep throat every winter all the way through, well, until Lexington, pastoring Lexington. And I was in my 30s. And strep throat kept me sick all winter long. Do you believe in medicine? Yes, I'd be dead without penicillin. That's how bad it was. But when God gave me that word, do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and sicknesses? And I said, yes. Every time I've had strep trying to come on me, God has healed me. And I marched right out here and preached, and that's been going on now for 45 years, 46 years approximately. But you don't name and claim it. It's a word in you. I believe the healer lives in me, and he wants me. As a matter of fact, the devil's trying to make me sick today. But no, devil, I got to preach. Now just get out of here and shut up. And you say amen. You can't do that unless you have that in you. Well, I've heard this before. Are you walking in victory? Do you get healed? Do you get delivered? Are you still in fear and defeat all the time? You need to hear it again and again and again until it gets in you and you start doing it. Somebody say amen. I think I heard Alice say amen. Was that you? Amen. If she says amen, you can forget it. I'm doing good if she says amen. When it seems nothing is working, I keep confessing with his stripes I'm healed. I've had a rough time the last two or three days. It don't make any difference. I got that word in me. Now I'm preaching. Now I know some of you may be praying, well, God, give us a break. But it ain't going to happen. Can you say amen? When all seems lost, the word says, listen, having done all to stand, stand. Amen. Having done all to stand, stand on your promise. On your word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then Paul says, how can they hear without a preacher? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preached word of God. You can preach it to yourself. It says we're to meditate on it day and night. And that's the way I got most of my promises, meditating on it myself. But as I'm preaching these promises in the Word of God, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit's going to quicken that to someone's heart, maybe more than one, and it's going to become your know-so revelation faith right now. And you're going to know, boy, that Word is for me, and I'm standing on it for the rest of my life. If you get a word like that, man, it just lights up. You say, now I see. You want to memorize that one. Amen. It's your faith. Somebody say amen. Boy, I felt that when I said that. Whew. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. When all seems lost, the Word says, having done all to stand, stand. As mature Christians, we must know our authority and never doubt it. John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. Jesus promised that the believer would do what he did. We can do the works he did if we believe that he said we can. If he said we can, we can. Did he say we can? You see, we take the Word of God as mystical. Well, it doesn't really mean that. It's mythical, whatever. But this word is real. Amen. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. He didn't say some mystical thing. It's real. And you can believe his word, and you pray over it until it begins to get in your heart and becomes a real faith. Know so. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and worked great miracles, and promised we would. Jesus spoke to the storm, to the fig tree, to the disease, to the demons, and he says, I can do the works he did. Amen. I sure don't do all the works that he did. But we have seen a lot of miracles. Amen. This church is full of miracles right here, right now. People been healed and delivered. Some have been able to build great businesses just by faith, just by hearing and obeying God. They have built their businesses the same way we built this church, hearing and obeying God. You see, the Lord wants to use us in great and mighty ways, and we need to start believing that Jesus Christ spoke the truth. We've had people healed of cancer. We've had people healed of all kinds of heart diseases, back problems. We had one lady that had her spine was so crooked, they put a rod in her back. That thing broke, and her pain was absolutely unbelievable. And this went on for years. And she heard about this church, and she came. She's standing right there. I just walked over and laid hands on her, and the Lord totally healed her. And she was able to hop up and down and sit down the floor. And she went back to the doctor. And that steel rod was still there, still broken, but she was totally healthy and well and normal. And then a couple of years ago, she came back by here. And we was out there doing one of those out-of-school things. And she came running up the bank out there and says, God, still, he healed me, and I'm still going, still healthy, still well. Now, you know, it doesn't happen to everybody. And frankly, sometimes I probably don't have as much faith as I need to have. Don't ever tell somebody they don't have faith, because it may be your faith. You remember the disciples? Well, these disciples worked all these great miracles, and when they died, the miracles went away. You know the truth? They couldn't cast the devil out, little boy, because Jesus said they didn't have faith. It wasn't the Father or the Son. It was really the disciples. They didn't have the faith. So if you're not getting healed, it might be me that don't have the faith. Can you say amen? And one reason I'm preaching this is because the Lord spoke to me recently and said, you need to get back to that faith you were acting in. You backed off a little. Amen. Amen. And you need to get back to that daredevil kind of faith. And so I'm getting back. Can you say amen? So I'm preaching his message to me, and you get to listen. Amen. I'm getting back on it. Can you say amen? Sometimes you get kind of tired of fighting and you just want to kind of back up a little. That's not allowed. A mature Christian, we must know our authority and never doubt it. John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, y'all pay attention. Now, this is not me. These are not my opinions. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ. Doubt it if you want to, but you're not going to receive the miracle that you want if you doubt the Word of God. What you do is your business, but I'm going to believe the Word of God. And I'm going to do more than just believe it. I'm going to act on it. I'm going to go ahead and plan for vacation Bible school even if I don't have buses, if I have them in me. I'm going to go ahead and start a church even though no one can see it if I have it in me. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Well, that was those apostles. No, it wasn't. This is the 70. These were just soul winners that Jesus sent out. None of them were apostles. They didn't become apostles. Verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give you the authority. I give you the authority. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions with all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Sometimes we've got to quit running around trying to get everybody else to pray for us and get us delivered. And sometimes we've just got to stand up and say, devil, get your hands off of me and get out. Amen. Boy, that's what I do when he tries to put that strep throat back on me. You're not putting that on me. Get out of here. I've had enough of that. And God has healed me. I've never missed preaching now in 46 or 47 years, one time because of sickness, because I believe this and act on it. Do you ever get sick? I've had some real issues, but I believe that God wants me to preach. So I pray and get healed and come on out and preach in spite of what some of you are praying. Verse 19, behold, I give you the authority. Now, either that's true or it's not. And why would he give it to them and not give it to us? Is he a respecter of persons? And it was not the apostles. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions with all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have authority and power to live in victory and put Satan under our feet if we believe Jesus said we would. He said, you will do what I've done. And then he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You've got to believe that he wants to use you. Listen, we don't work miracles. I don't work miracles. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We are just vessels, and Jesus Christ does his healing work through us. Amen. He does his miracles through us. Has nothing to do with us. Unless we doubt it and shut it down. At one place, it says that Jesus Christ could not work any great miracles there because of the doubt and the unbelief of the people. If they could shut him down then, we can shut him down now with our doubt and unbelief. And you don't have to be a radical nut. You pray until God gives you a scripture, gives you a revelation, and then go with it. This demon-possessed boy in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? Well, these disciples, they worked all these great miracles. You know why they worked miracles? Because they were believers. Amen. They didn't work miracles because they were apostles, because right here they could not cast the devil out. They weren't believers at that point. But when they became believers, then it says, he that believes on me. Not apostle. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, well, just a tiny speck of faith, like faith is a substance of things, hope for and evidence of things. How do you have just a speck of hope? It's not talking about a speck of hope. It's talking about a living faith. Faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen. He says, if you have faith in your heart, you can say to this mountain, this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means what he says. That's Jesus talking. My word is spirit and life. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, you'll never have to worry about having it. You have to believe it. If we have this scripture planted in our hearts, And that's the key to it. Get that in you. Then we have authority over everything Satan has. Satan, in the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Where did I get that? At the end of Jesus Christ's temptation, he said three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. Then he said, be gone. And the devil be gone. Can you say amen? You can be gone the devil and get rid of the devil if you know your authority. That depression, oppression, fear, doubt, strife, anger, rebellion, that strife coming into your house, drive it out. Depression, drive it out. Get out in the name. How do I know that works? Because I work it. I've had my children over the years, they're grown now. They come in with strife, fussing and fighting. I bind that spirit and leave. Well, it only happened really one time. Then the devil got out and stayed out. But they'd get into arguments. But this time it was real strife. And the Lord showed me what it was, the spirit of strife. And I rebuked that thing. You get out right in front of them. And later one of them said, you know, I felt something leave when you did that. You know, a lot of marriages are destroyed because people don't know their authority. You're not going to destroy our marriage, you lying devil. Get out. Take your strife and get out. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, time is up. What does that mean? Nothing. Mark 11, 23, truly I tell you, whoever, say whoever. Does it say apostles? Does it say preachers? Does it say missionaries? Or does it say whoever? Would all the whoever's raise their hand? Come on, whoever. Admit it. Come on, whoever. Okay. Truly I tell you, and who said that? Jesus. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain or demon, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt it all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Was he lying? No. But you got to believe it. And you may not be able to believe it until you spend some time fasting and praying and meditating on the word to get it in your heart. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it's granted you, and you will get it. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and you'll get it. Whatever you, and the Lord spoke that again to me just a couple of years ago, and I was just driving around in my vehicle, and the Lord brought that scripture to my mind. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, if you believe, believe that you receive it, and you'll get it. And it was so real. And several times since then, when I'm praying for something, I say, I believe. Of course, it has to line up with the Word of God. And you have to be in the will of God. Can you say amen? And and I say, I believe I receive it right now. And it's like I got it right now. And look at that. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it right here, right now. How do you believe you receive it right here, right now? By faith. If you're praying for a new Cadillac, you're probably not going to receive that right here, right now. You got to get somebody to drive you over to the dealership. Can you say amen? Amen? But you can receive an evidence in your heart that you've got that new Cadillac. Or you can have it in your heart God's given you a church. Or you can have it in your heart that God has healed you of cancer. Or you can have it in your heart that God's given you buses for Vacation Bible School. And you believe it. So, for this reason, I'm telling you, this is the Amplified Bible. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it's granted you, and you will get it. The Lord spoke to this to me again recently, as I just said, and he told me to be more aggressive in my faith. I was really aggressive over those Vacation Bible School things, and I just backed off just a little. Sometimes you get tired of fighting. But through this great preaching, my faith is coming back. Vacation Bible School in 2015. Were you there, Chuck? Yes. People believe Chuck, but don't believe me. And Alice, I know, was there because she stood there with me. Yep. It's the worst storm I've ever seen in my life. And us busing hundreds of kids out of there. And this was a year after we lost all the buses and got the buses back. And this year, I never seen anything like it. And Alice and I agreed together and others, and we stood out there. When all these storms coming toward the school, And we stood out there and said, "Devil, you're not going to destroy this school. You're not going to come through here. You're not going to wreck these buses. You're not going to harm these kids." It wasn't about us. It was about these kids. And one night, there was a storm. I mean, I never seen anything like it. It was giant. It was black. It was mean. And it's putting on the prettiest light show you ever seen, all the lightning. And Alice and I stood there, along with others, said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, you don't have to believe this. I don't care if you believe it or not. And we said, "Stop right there." That storm stopped. And it just right there, real close, and it put on the prettiest light show you ever seen for 1 hour. You see that, Chuck? The bus owner that year said, "You're making believers out of me. I never seen anything like this in my life." We weren't doing that to put on the show. We didn't want that storm come through there and kill our kids. That thing stopped. Well, after a while, sometimes you kind of get tired of having to be aggressive like that, and so you kind of back off. And so guess what? Last Saturday, it was the most beautiful day you ever seen in your life. And all these storms predicted, guess what? Starting at about 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock. And I mean, it was some serious weather coming in. And we get setting up all these inflatables. So I called Alice. Where'd she go? "Alice! I need your witness." But anyhow, I called her. I said, "Look, we got to really believe God has changed this weather." And I felt like, "Well, just move them inside. We got a big gym over there, and let's just forget it." I felt the Lord said, "No. You take a stand. You can't bring that 40-foot wall, a climbing wall inside." And I said, "Okay." So I began to pray that God would get the storms out of here. And you could see from what I was told, I didn't look it up on radar, the storm was just going around us like this. And so this has happened before. But I had to take a stand and say, "Devil, you're not going to mess this up. It's not about me. It's about my kids." And my kids are grown, but it's about your kids. Yay. And so all was well. They had all the inflatables set up. Kids out there having a good time. And we had so many people, we had to set up tables out there in the parking lot. And so everybody's sitting out there eating. And someone come running in and says, "Barry, it's starting to sprinkle." Well, I have a weather detector. And it's my head. If I feel cold rain box bouncing off my head, I know it's raining. If I feel a little icy flakes on my head, I know it's snowing. If everybody else's hair is blowing, I know the wind is blowing. I don't have hair. And so I walked out there, and sure enough, it was starting to sprinkle. Now listen, you can't get these inflatables full of water. I mean, if you get them all wet, you just can't. You had to cancel. Can you say amen? Climbing wall. You want your kids climbing a 40-foot climbing wall and it raining? I don't think so. And so I walked out there, and I felt it, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. And then it picked up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. I said, "You foul line devil, you're not going to do this." Jesus spoke to the storm. "I'm speaking to the storm. Now get out of here." And it was, Lynn said, it was pouring down rain to her house, and it was only about a mile and a half away. That thing went around us. And you say, "Preacher, you're nuts." Well, I'm having fun. Leave me alone. But all I know is, as I kept walking and kept rebuking the enemy and speaking to the storm, it all completely stopped. And we finished the thing without any of the equipment getting wet. You believe what you want to believe. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get anything done until you spend some time in prayer and get your own know-so word. Let's all stop.